Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. We got a woo. I'm Allison Steery. Thanks for joining me today. Yes. We are live in the green space. This is only our second live show in front of an audience. Thanks for coming out, you guys. We really appreciate it. And for those of you listening on the radio, you can check out the live stream of our show at thegreenspace.org or at facebook.com/WNYC. And we suspect you might want to see what's going on in here today because our first guest this hour is singer-songwriter Andrew Bird. Fans of Andrew Bird know they can expect to hear from him virtuoso violin. He's been playing since he was a little kid. Thoughtful lyrics and, of course, some seriously impressive whistling. And his latest album delivers on all of the above. His 15th studio album is titled My Finest Work Yet. Pitchfork described it as, quote, his most plainly and darkly funny album in a long time. Our friends at NPR Music named the debut single Sisyphus as one of the best songs of January. So we're so glad to have Andrew Bird here, along with Madison Cunningham, who is also on guitar. And Andrew, you're going to perform Sisyphus for us right now. Mm-hmm.
Stone stole from a precipice, paused. Did he jump or did he fall as he gazed into the maw, the morning mist? Did he raise both fists and say to hell with this and just let the rock roll? Let it roll, let it crash down low. There's a house down there, but I lost it long ago. Long ago. Well, I let the rock roll on down to the town below. Had a house down there, but I lost it long ago. Lost it long ago. Rather fail like a mortal than flail like a god. I'm a lightning rod. History forgets the moderates. Those who sit recalcitrant and taciturn, you know I'd rather turn and burn than scale this edifice, yeah. Where's my accomplice? So take my hand. We'll do more than stand. We'll claim this land. Take my hand and we'll let the rock roll. Let it roll, let it crash down low. There's a house down there, but I lost it long ago. Let it roll, let it crash down low. I see my house down there, but I lost it long ago. Lost it long ago. Nothing to do with fate and everything to do with.
Woo!
fist, peered into the mist, a stone throw from the precipice. Pause.
Have a seat. Andrew Bird. First of all, thank you so much for being part of our live show. We really appreciate you coming by today and bringing all of your talent, and Madison as well. Thank you so much. So this album was recorded in California, and you recorded it live to tape.
Yeah.
First of all, explain to our audience what that means and why you made that choice.
Well, all my records that I've done to tape and have been my favorite ones. And it kind of forces you, we had 16 tracks to work with, which is not that many. It gives you limitations, you know, which are good, I think. And we did it live in a room with the instruments bleeding into the other mics of the other instruments. So there's a connectedness between everything that I think is, it goes against the last 30 years of recording techniques, which is to isolate everything. But those old jazz records from the early, late 50s, early 60s, which are some of my favorite records, were recorded in this kind of room sound way.
Is that the Rudy Van Gelder?
Rudy Van Gelder, yeah. Technique.
It was at Barefoot Studios. Why did you choose that studio?
It was just the right sounding room for a four-piece band. I had a great Stevie Wonder's old piano from the 70s that he did Songs in the Key of Life.
Oh my gosh. You get inspiration just standing next to that piano.
Yeah, there's a lot of old studios in LA that have that kind of lore to it. You know? But it was a great room and had all the right old stuff we needed.
From beginning to end of the recording process, how long was that?
The tracking just takes maybe 10 to 12 days. And that's, since we're doing it live, that's the majority. That's like 80% of the work. So all the mixing is done on the front end about where we're standing in relation to each other, more so than the post work of like mixing.
Can you remember a time during that when you realized you needed to make a change in the room so that you could get a sound you wanted or get a vibe you wanted?
Yeah, I mean, you want to get right to work. You're ready to, you know, get some results right away, but you have to be patient and take a few days to make sure everything's, we're getting that right kind of bleed between the mics. So, it's a fun way to, I'm singing live. That's important to me. I just, if I'm doing overdubs and deconstructing a song in the studio, I start to lose the map really quickly. So it's like good to just keep it. I'm most comfortable on stage. I don't really love recording. So I try to keep recording as organic and live as possible.
Is it, do you get too much in your head when you're recording?
I do. It's kind of, I compare it to like when you leave your outgoing message on your voicemail and you hear your own voice and you're like, oh God, I sound like such a chump. You know? It's a little bit like that when you're listening back to your performance and you're like, oh, I'm going to change myself the way I am, you know, because I don't like it, the way it sounds. And that kind of self-consciousness is not good for music, I find.
My guest is Andrew Bird. His latest album is My Finest Work Yet. You worked with Paul Butler. Mm-hmm. He was your producer, right? Co-producer?
Yeah.
How do you guys work together?
He was pretty hands-off. He just understood, you know, he grew up on the Isle of Wight off the coast of England, and he taught himself how to record in a shack. It's all very romantic. And I heard his story, and I thought, that sounds like a good guy to work with. I like the self-taught, do-it-yourself thing. And it worked out great. I mean, it's hard to find engineers and producers that are willing to take those kinds of risks. They want to control everything, and he didn't feel the need to do that.
When you went into this project, did you have a sense of, this is the sound I want from the beginning to the end of the record, this is the sequencing I want? We had a band in earlier who said, I want people to listen to the record from beginning to end, not just single to single to single, because we're trying to tell a story.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your approach.
I mean, sequencing is big. From the live show to just doing the set list every night. And knowing that most people listen in a more, don't listen to records that way so much anymore, but I still am hanging on to the idea of the album is a statement, a body of work, and it has to flow. You're thinking about, you know, key modulations between songs. You're thinking about up-tempo, mid-tempo, all these factors. And then the subject matter, yeah. So the song opens with Sisyphus and closes with this Bellevue Bridge Club. And they, you know, I think about the last song has to have a feeling like you're waving from the back of the train, you know. Mm-hmm. See you next time, you know.
So the first song, Sisyphus, you're telling us you're going to roll a boulder up a hill.
Yeah, so that's the commencement of this struggle that we're embarking on. And then the end is kind of like, see you later.
Was Sisyphus inspired by something in your life that was a Sisyphean task?
I have those tendencies. I don't know. I grew up in the Midwest, you know, Catholic. So there's
a whole group of people went, oh, I get that.
Yeah. And my dad grew up in Iowa. Mm-hmm. So there's just like a feeling that I've been trying to shake for years, but of like the only things that are worth doing are the things that hurt and that are hard, you know.
Such an artist.
It's so predictable.
When did you write this record? At what point in time?
Mostly between 2016 and 17, in those.
After November 2016?
Yes, yes. I mean, I had a few things cooking before that happened, but it definitely shaped, how could it not shape what I was writing? You know, whether it's whatever's going on in your life or in the world is going to get into your music. And I knew, I had a sense that this one was going to be affected by what's happening.
Did you feel better after you wrote your songs?
Was it therapeutic?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, no. Though there is a optimism throughout. And the music is quite uplifting. The lyrics get pretty in there, you know. But there's always like a second voice that pops into my head when I start getting too dark that kind of laughs at myself. And I let that voice into the song, mm-hmm. which provides some levity, you know. But you wouldn't miss what I'm talking about in these. Like I felt a sense of urgency when I was making this record, and I felt the need to communicate, but on a different bandwidth than our 24-hour news feed. Because who wants to hear a bunch of songs that sound like our 24? That sounds horrible. But
this sounds accurate, actually.
Yeah. I'm just trying to frame what's happening in a different way, help us maybe look at it differently, and hopefully get beyond the choir. That's the goal.
My finest work yet, is it? That's the title of your record.
I mean,
you have to know when you name your record, you're going to get asked that.
I know. You have to see it with the album art. It makes more sense. But yeah, like you said, it's 15 records in, and I'm like, another poetic title that tries to encapsulate all the songs into one phrase. I'm like, let's just not beat around the bush and let's just call it what it is.
That's the darkly funny.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and after the break, Andrew, will you perform another song for us?
Sure.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. We are live in the green space with Andrew Bird, who's performing songs from his newest album, My Finest Work Yet. What are you going to play for us now, Andrew?
This is called Olympians.
You were inhabited, speaking in tongues in the night. I wasn't having it. I could tell that something wasn't right. Why don't you come to bed instead of stumbling into the light? Oh, medicine cabinets, shaking up pills left and right. Right. Who's giving up the most? No one's gonna give you a medal. Who's giving up the ghost tower? addiction rages. This nocturnal dance, the misery's contagious. We are Olympians. Oh, we're gonna turn it around. We're gonna turn it around, yeah. We're gonna turn it around. We're gonna turn it around. We're gonna turn it around, yeah. We're gonna turn it around. You start spitting out anathemas. You start spitting out anathemas. It was anathema, about half a mile between adult and deranged. Oh, it was anathema. Ta da 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 da. Tell us something wasn't right. Oh, who's giving up the most? You speaking in tongues in the night. Oh, who's giving up the most? You were shaking out pills left and right. Oh, who's giving up the most? You were stumbling into the light. Light. The competition rages. This nocturnal dance. Misery's contagious, and we are Olympians. No, oh, we're gonna turn it around. We're gonna turn it around, yeah. We're gonna turn it around. We're gonna turn it around. We're gonna turn it around, yeah. We're gonna turn it around.
Andrew Bird and Madison Cunningham from Andrew's recently released album, My Finest Work Yet. You mentioned before the break the cover art, and I want to describe it because we was teasing you about the title of the album, My Finest Work Yet, and it's a painting by David, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people know the Napoleon painting, right? That's sort of the famous one. But this
right.
one is a view in, well, it's the Death of Marat? Is that
the Death of Marat. And it's a fairly famous image, and we staged it as a photograph that still looks quite a bit like a painting, but it's me in a bathtub full of blood. but there's no blood in this one. I thought that went too far.
Is that a painting you've admired, or is that something you've always kind of had in your head? You thought one day this will be an album cover for me.
No, I just stumbled on it when I had the title in my head and I was looking for something that would play off the finest work yet. And I saw it more as like the suffering poet penning his last words with his dying breath, that sort of super drama. I thought that would work. So it was a very elaborate, you know, a lot of detail to work
sure.
out on the set, yeah.
It's quite extra, too, which is very... the whistling, have you always been a whistler? The whistling is phenomenal.
Oh, thanks.
Right?
I just do it...
I never heard anybody whistle like that.
If you hung out with me for a day, you'd get tired of it. Because it's if I'm not eating or sleeping or talking, I'm whistling pretty much. Even when you can't quite hear it, I'm just breathing in and out. There's like little tones coming out.
How does your wife feel about that?
Well, now my son's doing it, so she gets it, you know, in stereo on both. Like, she's getting a little. Her nerves are getting a little frayed by it. Yeah.
You've done something that I think a lot of New Yorkers think about doing: packing up and leaving. You used to live in the Village, not that far from here.
Yeah.
How has moving to Los Angeles changed your work, if at all?
You know, I'm not sure. It's a more private place. I have a little more of a sanctuary there. Like being in New York was stimulating, but I don't know if it was the right kind of stimulus all the time. Mm-hmm. And being in small spaces is not generally good for singing. You know what I mean? Like being in small apartments with low ceilings you sing with your head voice because you have neighbors and it's just you sing to
keep it contained.
Well, you sing to the room. You fill the room, and if it's a 400 square foot studio, you're going to write a certain kind of song. Mm-hmm. So having a larger now we have a nice like classic LA Hollywood house with the big ceilings from the 20s, and it has a big wood ceiling, and it creates more optimism, I think, having that high ceiling.
Do you miss New York at all?
I do. I was only here for like 3.5 years, and it was no, I'm lying. I don't miss it. I don't know.
You're like, LA's great.
I gotta be honest. It's nice to come back for
there
a week
you go.
And here and there.
And how has being a dad changed your music?
I can't quantify how it's changed my music. It's just a trip hearing your ideas come back to you through your offspring. You know what I mean?
Like
in so many ways, but like musically also, now that he's whistling, like I hear the melodies getting, you know, shot right back at me.
Maybe he needs to make an appearance on the next Finest Work.
We'll see. He's coming along with the guitar. So,
oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Touring. I know that you guys have all your equipment backstage. You're about to get on a plane and go somewhere. Tell us a little bit about the tour, because people are streaming from all over.
Oh, well, right now I've just been playing these small jazz rooms, like what we call underplays, which has been really fun, really good for morale, good for band. It just makes sense for this record to play in these intimate spaces, but in the fall we'll be coming back through New York with big shows at King's Theater and Brooklyn Steel. And I'm not hitting it too hard this spring. I'm just kind of doing this sort of thing.
Can we get you to play one more song?
Yeah.
Before you go?
All right. Okay.
Andrew, thank you so much.
Have to look into my eyes. You don't need a secret code. No need to play it, be inspired. And though I may speak to you in tongues, you don't need Rosetta Stones. Yeah, know how this song is sung. And what I say is true, yeah, true, true, oh yeah. Thank you. It will be music to my ears, to your ears, to my ears, 'cause what you say is true. Yeah.
Andrew Bird's album is my finest work yet. Andrew Madison, thank you so much.
That's awesome.
After the break, Heidi Schreck will be on stage. Her show, What the Constitution Means to Me, just moved to Broadway. Its director, Oliver Butler, will be here as well. Don't go away. This is all of it on WNYC.